Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa, Internet World, West Alabama. How we doing today on a Thursday? It's The Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. Hope you and yours are doing well. You're watching us on the Bama Central YouTube channel, Facebook page, on my own social media machines at JoeGaither6. You are listening to us on your favorite podcast platform, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon, wherever you get your podcast. You can get The Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. We are live in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios just off McFarland Boulevard. You can call Derek for all of your insurance needs. He just hired a new insurance producer. Call and talk to Bobby. Call, or if you like our friend Red, Red's the man. He's been there forever. We love Red. Call and talk to Red or Bobby about your insurance at 205-758-3391. Look for all your insurance needs, home, life, auto insurance needs. It will not take you very long to get an auto insurance quote. You can get the information that you need, make the decisions that you need for your family, get better coverage by calling 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. Call and see how much money he can save you today. Of course, we are here with our friend Mason Woods. Follow Mason Woods at MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine. You can find him for all of your recruiting writing at on Bama Central, on Vanderbilt Commodores on SI, Missouri Tigers on SI, Boston College on SI, Boston College Eagles on SI. Man, that is a mouthful. Boston College Eagles on SI. We gotta simplify that, Kim Ranking. BC on SI. We gotta simplify that right there. So you can follow Mason Woods at MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine. We're going to be talking about Diego Pavia. We're going to be talking about how Alabama matches up defensively, how Alabama matches up offensively. I finished watching the South Carolina game. I watched the Virginia Tech game. I punted on the Charleston Southern game. I didn't watch Georgia State, and I've watched some of this Utah State game. I think that there's a lot to get into with Alabama against Vanderbilt. We're going to be joined by Joey Dwyer, our colleague at Vanderbilt Commodores on SI. Joey Dwyer is going to join us here in just a little bit. You can follow him at Joey_Dwy on the Twitter machine. He's joined us before. He's going to give us a full breakdown of the Commodores in about 15 more minutes. But first, we got to find out how Mason's doing and talk about these comments from Diego Pavia. If we play our game, it's not going to be close. Good morning, Mason. How we doing?
Doing good. I'm doing good this morning. In response to Diego Pavia, I mean, what else is he going to say? You know, this is a classic example of a reporter lobs a question at a player where he doesn't really have anything else to say other than, well, of course we're going to win. I fully believe that we're going to win. I mean, you know, he maybe could have been a little less blunt about it. Maybe he could have chosen his words a little more carefully rather than it won't be close. Maybe just say, I feel confident that if we play our game plan, we can win, something along those lines. But I mean, really, it's Diego Pavia we're talking about. This is all he does is talk and talk and talk. And he's backed it up for a lot of it. So we will have to see what he does on Saturday. I'm not overly confident.
Yeah, it's not Diego Pavia unless he's saying the most outlandish stuff possible. Yeah. Ripping a page out of the Castellanos playbook and basically saying, I'll take the heat for the team. I'll be the distraction. I will make Alabama see red. And if they're seeing red, they're not seeing the ball. Their eyes aren't in the right place. They're not reading their keys. They're not reading the guards. They're seeing red. And that's exactly what I think he's trying to do, is mess with the Crimson Tide and get the Alabama defense red face and anger, and just like the matador does to the bull, come get this red sheet, and boom, we'll tire you out and then slaughter you. Terrible. So how you feeling on a Thursday? I'm still feeling like Bama's going to be comfortable here.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. We were just, you know, kind of talking about it right before we got to starting the show here. And I feel like, you know, it might be close for a bit. Vanderbilt may keep it a game for the first half or so, maybe a little bit in the third quarter. But I think by the end of the game, it will be firmly in Alabama's favor, and we'll all be pretty sure that, okay, we see what team Vanderbilt is. We know what level they're at. They're not quite there yet.
Right. I think that Vanderbilt's got some pieces offensively to stay in the game. And I think Tim Beck is very, very, very much a wizard when it comes to being an offensive coordinator.
They're going to have some explosives.
Good morning, Miss Betty. Roll Tide to you as well. Thanks for commenting on the Facebook machine. We appreciate you so, so much joining us each and every day. I think that Tim Beck has got enough here. I think this game is squarely on the shoulders of Ryan Grubb. Is fair squarely on the shoulders of Ty Simpson. And when you look at Vanderbilt's defensive numbers, our man Hunter DeSavory went out yesterday, and their defensive numbers in the SEC, 8th in points allowed out of 16, 8th in points allowed, 5th in yards allowed, 5th in yards per play, 3rd in rushing yards allowed, so they're doing pretty good right there, 8th in rushing yards allowed per carry, they're 10th in passing yards allowed, they are 3rd in passing yards allowed per completion at 905, so pretty good right there. They're 15th in completion percentage allowed. That's not good. And there you go. Here you go, Ty Simpson. You're going to have wide open holes. They are tied for 5th sacks per game, 2.8. Tied for 10th, 0.6 interceptions per game. They give up opponents third down conversion percentage, 34.7. Tied for 9th. So lower end of third down percentage. And
Georgia State,
fourth down percentage.
Utah State, Virginia Tech. There's a trend developing here.
Bad offenses, bad teams, not incapable.
I think I think I'm almost the opposite, where I think this is more on Kane Womack's shoulders. It's up to him to say, hey, buddy, can you not do what you did last year? Can your defense stop Vanderbilt? Can you stop Diego Pavia? Can you shut him up? I'm pretty supremely confident in Alabama's offense at this point. I don't really think that anybody, at least at this moment, is going to give them too many fits. I think that offense is electric. That offense, is extremely creative, and Ryan Grubb is going to figure it out. But I think it's more, this is a Kane Womack prove it. Like, hey, buddy, you got gashed last year. Your defense looks soft. You got embarrassed. You got outcoached. Can you prove yourself on, you know, at home? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest question. But you got to lean on what you already know with this team, sure, with this Alabama team. And as you said, the offense has proven itself, yes, to be pretty explosive and pretty consistent. And so you've got great wide receivers, yeah, and your offensive line. You're still shuffling the offensive line looking for the
apparently
right five.
Works,
right, exactly. It's the results are there. And Ryan Grubb showed you last week that he doesn't need to turn and hand the football off because he's got so many other ways to, you know, get the ball into his playmakers' hands. To me, it's Ryan, we ain't punting in this game. We are just scoring, sure, every drive.
I do get that. I understand the perspective of, hey, we're putting our foot on the gas. We're not taking it off until there's 4 zeros on the clock. Because I do think you have an opportunity to really, like,
you
send
make
a message.
Diego feel it.
Yes, like you send a message with this win. If you're Alabama and you have if you have the ability to make this a 63-21 win, you go do it.
Right.
Like, you stomp on their neck and you say, hey, Vanderbilt, go back to Nashville. We're playing real football here.
Yeah, we're up 7-0. Do you want to take a 9-play drive for 9 minutes when we're just going to go right back down the field and, sure, go 14-7? And then we're going to go right down the field and go, it'll be 10, it'll be 21-10, and now are you really just going to eat 3 yards at a time and the clock? Mm-hmm. They're basically number one in time of possession over the last 2 years in the SEC.
That's their whole thing,
right? And so the offense, you play from ahead. We did that last week. You start that trend, but you take advantage of every possession. You take advantage of, like, I think if I'm Shane Beamer, if you put this tape on, he's probably dog cussing himself. He's probably dog cussing Mike Shula to death. and of course, he's actually probably not dog cussing himself or Mike Shula. He's blaming the referees because I don't think that Shane Beamer is the I take responsibility type person. Now, maybe that's an outside perspective, but he seems like they screwed us type. And the officials did have some bad moments, especially towards the end of the half with the Lenore Sellers targeting. Brother, did you watch the end of it, the end of the half? So Lenore gets targeted. Mm-hmm. And I'm
trying to remember how it all.
They throw the backup quarterback out there. Yep. No problem. Lenore, they don't call the targeting.
Yes.
I think they call roughly the passer, yeah, maybe. I think
that's right.
So they got 15 yards. And the snap happens, and the backup quarterback throws 10, 12-yard slant to Nick Harbor, mm-hmm. who is their speedster, on the right-hand side of the field, cutting across right to left. And it's like, oh, man, he might go 60 yards right here on this play and make it 14-14. Mm-hmm. Instead, as Harbor is receiving the ball, the officials, we want to review that play for targeting. And it's like, what?
We've got to, what? we have to speed this process up, folks. Like, I don't know how you do it, but like there is a method to making this just all go a little faster. Like, I don't, you know, the NFL does a pretty good job of it. Now, I get there's sometimes some long reviews and things, but they've tightened it up a bit, especially with, hey, if like this play is getting reviewed, you very rarely are getting guys even lined up for the next play before it's, you know, hey, we're reviewing it. You know,
exactly.
Everybody knows pretty quick. That's ridiculous.
The Harbor is receiving the ball, yeah, as the whistle is going. And like, there's a fairly solid argument that he's at least ripping off another 25 yards. Yeah. And people, the South Carolina fans are, he would have scored. It's like, well, he had 65 yards in front of him. Maybe he would have got, you know, somebody with an angle, sure, or so. But I'll give you another 15 to 20, and you're sitting there right outside the red zone, and you're ready to keep this drive going.
It just continues to add to the kind of narrative that we were talking yesterday, that game, that 31-7, you know, Vanderbilt is not a 31-7 better team than South Carolina.
Well, right. You turned the ball over four times for South Carolina. You one, and two of them were
two
in the
fumbles,
red zone.
Right. Interception.
So Sellers had an interception, and I think there were two fumbles, and Doty threw one. Doty threw two. I think it was one fumble and two.
You just couldn't do anything. It was, you know, it was turnover on downs, fumble, turnover on downs, interception, fumble, turnover on downs, end of game. Like, the whole second half was a disaster for that offense.
Right, and you're getting penalty after penalty. So, like, if you're Alabama's offense, you know, take these daggum Diego Pavia quotes. It's fine. If we play our game, it won't be close. Exactly like you said, Diego being Diego and trying to distract. But take the first part, Ty Simpson. If we play our game, it won't be close. If we play our game, if you don't have pre-snap penalties, if you don't have silly holding calls, if you just read the field, deliver the football to the open man, read the progression, brother. You got three, at least, maybe four with Lottie, maybe five with Rico Scott. You got three, at least, NFL wide receivers. You might have five. So, like, buddy, just read the field, get the ball into your NFL, your future NFL wide receivers in Jeremy, Isaiah, and Ryan. And okay, when they're backed off, when they're playing too high shell, when they're playing too high shell, exactly. That's exactly what it is. Oh, right. Actually, let me do a little pinch right there or so. Nah, that's all right.
You got the,
around and hand the ball off.
Yes.
And you say, hey guys, Caden, you lost the weight. You're at 359 now. Maybe at this week you're at 356. So you're moving a little better. Like, just 3 pounds a week, bro. You're gonna be right at your target weight by SEC championship.
Perfect.
And so, just read the field.
Yeah.
Just do what we do. Did you hear Clark Lee on the SEC teleconference call yesterday?
What did he say?
Said Alabama's offense looks a lot different than last year's.
He's not incorrect.
He says Oh, last year they were kind of spreading you out, trying to give the quarterback room to make a play, use his athleticism. He said, this year they're looking a lot more like an NFL progression passing style offense. And so it's just like, take the Pavia quote. If we do what we do, the game won't be close. Fine. Just put it up for ourselves. Just attribute it to yourselves.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine.
Wear that, eat that, live that, sleep that mantra for the next few, you know, 3 days.
So
2 days.
And I do think you're right that Kane's got to prove himself a bit. But to me, it's just the offense just has to not implode. Because sure, when I watched South Carolina, it was just self-implosion. And if you give South Carolina a chance, or excuse me, if you give Vanderbilt a chance because you're turning the football over, because mm-hmm. your penalties, you're behind the sticks, you're in third and longs, because of course their defense is going to stop you on third and 23. But third and 6, 5, 4, yeah, buddy, it should be all right. You should be able to chunk these guys and get down the field. I'm not that concerned, and maybe that's naivety. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not respecting Diego Pavia, but I think it's confidence in Alabama's offense.
You just had me thinking when you were talking about the receivers there a minute ago. Are we going to look back on this group, you know, in 4 or 5 years or so, like they were like the right, like we look back on the rideouts, you know, the Jerry Jeudy, Jalen Waddle, Henry Ruggs.
Jeremy's going to make an NFL franchise so happy.
I mean, like,
he's going to make an NFL. Don't go to the NFC North, Jeremy, please.
That guy is a 90 reception, 1,200 yard receiver, mm-hmm. like for 8 years in the mm-hmm. NFL. mm-hmm.
Yes. Go to Atlanta. It's fine. Like, my Bears don't need any more receivers, so we're not in the market. But, like,
you'd be welcome in Tennessee.
Perfect. I will tighten up.
I'll buy with Jeremy a jersey tomorrow.
I will tighten up with Jeremy Bernard. Absolutely.
He can't wear 5, though, unfortunately, because Alec Iomanner is 5.
That's all right. That's all right. We'll give him 15.
But this group, like, it, man.
25.
I don't. I really don't think that we have seen this receiver group even unlocked to its full potential mm-hmm. yet. You know, you've seen it. You've really, the last 2 weeks, you started to see it a bit with the Isaiah Horton getting more involved, and he, you know, he's getting more comfortable in the offense and the system. Ty Simpson is finding him more. But I just, yeah, it's not even close to, I think, what its ceiling is. And I don't know when you'll get there. Maybe this week is when we start to see it. Is when you see them fully unlock it, but you know, the signs are there, and wow, it's a good group.
Let's hit the voicemail line before we get Joey Dwyer on the program. You can call the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800. My man Dax has a call talking about how he's going to act in Bryant-Denny Stadium.
That's Dax. Referencing what you said about Vanderbilt feeling the stadium on Saturday. Whenever I get the chance to go to an Alabama game, I don't know if it's just me. It's probably a lot of people who don't, you know, don't have season tickets that don't get to go to every single home game. But I am on my feet pretty much the entire game.
As you should.
And here's another thing. I don't think Vanderbilt has ever had a school hate them. Not hate them as much as we do, but I don't think Vanderbilt's ever had anyone like hate them. Well, at least in my lifetime, like, you know, crappy old bottom of the barrel Vanderbilt. They're definitely not bottom of the barrel this year. And the fact that they beat us last year, they've been, well, specifically Diego Poppy, been talking all this talk, I mean, he's proved he can walk the walk. But Vanderbilt, I can assure this, in the past 30, 40 years, Vanderbilt has never felt the pressure of a home crowd like we are going to give them Saturday. There is hate in our hearts for Diego Pavia specifically and the University of Vanderbilt. I love Clarkley. He's doing really good things, but I do not like Diego Pavia. And the fact that Johnny Manziel is going to be sitting on the sidelines going to that piece of crap Two Dimes bar that's hosting him or something. Oh, man. Oh, that's a whole nother topic.
That is another topic. Let's pick one.
Yeah, I'm going to be on my feet the whole game. I'm fairly confident the entire stadium wants to beat Vanderbilt like worse than Florida State wanted to beat us in the first game of this year. Like, it is going to be the most hostile environment that Vanderbilt has ever seen. And I'll give you all my predictions tomorrow for Football Friday, but I really think we're going to win this game handily. And like I said earlier, on Tuesday's voicemail that the scheme is not the greatest. I really think that Kane Womack will be deep in his bag for this one, and we're not going to get gashed near as much as we did against Georgia. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a hand like a we're going to win handily, and I'm pretty confident in that statement, knock on wood. So, yeah, I'll call y'all back tomorrow and give you my predictions, but that's all I got to say about Vanderbilt. We are coming for blood. Get ready, Diego Pavia. Quoting Lane Kiffin, get your popcorn ready. Roll Tide, boys.
My girlfriend was on the phone last night talking about this game. She said, we got to stuff Diego Pavia in a locker. I said, all right, girl, you got it. She's going to go. She's going to go with some friends. And she said, I'm going to be yelling so much at him. I'm like, all right, let's get it.
I do think that Dax, that is a kind of valid point. I don't know that Vanderbilt has ever really experienced this amount of vitriol from another fan base because they've never been relevant enough to warrant it. This is the first time, at least, like he said, in my lifetime, in his lifetime, and many people's lifetimes, that Vanderbilt has ever been this relevant in football or really any sport, except for baseball, I guess. But who cares about baseball?
Mm. Yes.
Yeah, just he's right. He is correct. I think that'll be, you know, I don't know how.
Is the last hostile environment that they went into?
Where have they played? I mean,
that was in First Bank Stadium. Okay, so no, they played
at South Carolina.
They played Tennessee last year. They lost, but that was in First Bank Stadium. So it was in Nashville. Vanderbilt 2024 schedule. Because I'm sorry, I guess Lane Stadium, Virginia Tech this year might be. I mean, yes, Inter Stanley.
Well, maybe at that point, like, because they still minutes. Had hope.
Okay, you're at Tiger Stadium, Baton Rouge. You lost 24-17 last year. Okay, good for you. Jordan Hare, you win. I had somebody ask me yesterday, Mobile Radio, WNSP, mm-hmm. who Auburn fans are going to be cheering for. And I'm like, of course Auburn fans are going to be cheering for Vanderbilt. They're like, even though they beat Auburn 2 last year? I'm like, of course.
That's an insane question. Oh man, I haven't even had any. They play Vanderbilt this year, right? Do they?
Let's see if they have the turnaround this year. Because really, I just pay attention to up to Alabama's schedule,
sure, yeah,
right? Too. They have Auburn in Nashville, November 8th.
Please make it two in a row, Clark Lee. That'd
right, they got Vanderbilt's got Alabama off, LSU, Missouri, Texas, Auburn. What a month! What a month!
Golly. It'll be amazing if they come out of this season 8-4.
Right. What a month for real. They're going LSU at home, Missouri at home, at Texas, and then Auburn at home. So at least three of the four are at home.
That's good.
Yeah. See, I think that this is going to be.
Yeah, this will be the first, like, I mean, you know, you mentioned LSU is obviously a tough road environment, but Vanderbilt, it's not like LSU was coming off of losing to Vanderbilt or anything like that. So it's just going to be a bit different. I think this will be something that this team maybe is not super used to.
I don't think I emailed Joey the show link. I did put it in his Twitter DM, so I just emailed it to him right there so that he does have that. And he's going to be joining us here in just a minute. Vanderbilt Commodores on SI, Joey Dwyer. He knows Diego pretty well. I guess he's been reporting on the Pavia family for quite some time. I do think they've got a good receiver in Junior Sherrill. I do think that he's a good player. And then Eli Stowers is obviously a stud.
Cedric Alexander's a stud. They have guys. They've got NFL dudes on that offense.
Yeah. So we'll get into it right here with Joey in just a second. But I'm starting to feel a sense of confidence. The more that I put them on, the more that I put them on my TV, the more I think, you know, and maybe it is just the competition they're playing. Maybe they can come in here and really compete and play a 3-point game and cover the spread and beat Alabama. And I'll end up looking like a fool. So we'll find out what Joey has to say right here. Before we do that, we want to remind you that this program is brought to you by Derek Daniels State Farm Insurance. You can call Derek for all of your insurance needs at 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniels is there. You can call and see how much he can save you today on your home, your life, your auto insurance needs. It won't take you very long. Look, a quick 15-minute phone call. I know it's not fun to be on the phone these days, but you can call him. them, give them a little bit of information, and they can give you a quote for really, really good insurance, local coverage, coverage you can count on, somebody that you can call if you get in a fender bender. Hey, Derek, don't know what to do. Somebody just hit me. He'll be able to help you out. So that is a huge, huge advantage. Look, I don't like robots. I don't like call centers. So when I have trouble, like I did at my house in the summer, I said, Derek, something just happened at my house. What do I do? And he said, call, let me send you this phone number and that phone number. Call this person. They'll be out tomorrow and they'll fix it. And Derek made it so easy for me to get the house back in order. I appreciate that. He can make it easy for you. Call him at 205-758-3391 for all of your insurance needs. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel in State Farm is there.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.
All right, let's turn our attention to our guest line. We can find our friend Joey Dwyer. Joey joins us this morning. Vanderbilt Commodores on SI. You follow Joey Dwyer at Joey_Dwy, DWI, covering all things Vanderbilt. But right now, that means football all over the Pavia story. And he will be in Tuscaloosa to see if Vanderbilt can upset the Crimson Tide. Good morning, Joey. How we doing?
Morning, guys. It's been an overwhelming amount of radio hits this week with people in your direction, but this was a must do. So glad to be on.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time. I just want you to set the scene from the Vanderbilt side of things. How are the Commodores feeling? Obviously, extremely confident is my assumption. We all saw Diego Pavia's comments yesterday. If we play our game, it won't be close. What is the mindset for Vanderbilt? You've beaten South Carolina on the road. You've beaten Virginia Tech on the road. You smacked your three cupcakes, and now you're coming to Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, first of all, I think it's one of the more important games of Clark Lee's tenure. It might be the most important game of Clark Lee's tenure. I shy away from saying it's the biggest game in Vanderbilt football history because I don't think there's a ton on the line if they lose. Like, guys, I don't think we're going to change our perception of this team a whole lot if they go in there and lose by 7. That doesn't derail their season or anything along those lines. I think that's all right if that happens. But here's the thing. If they win, this thing could blow up. Like, they could be a top 10 team. They'll be a legitimate college football playoff contender. So I feel like it's a game where Vanderbilt's got a lot to gain, doesn't have a whole lot to lose, and I think it kind of knows that. And guys, the confidence is a great point. That's really what I've gleaned from the entire week. And you guys know this team. It's not anything to be surprised by. We asked Langston Patterson, what does it feel like to be able to know you can compete with Alabama? Because he was on the team that lost 55-3 in Tuscaloosa a few years ago. And he said, we're not looking to compete. We're looking to dominate. And it's just not something you've heard from this program and in this game over the years. And when they have made declarations, they've looked stupid for it in the past. Now, I think they're making those knowing that they can compete at the very least, and they'll be in the game. Guys, that's a big difference.
How much of this confidence is just rubbed off from Diego Pavia, injecting a bit of juice into the program, or how much of it comes from Clark Lee kind of slowly building this monster there in Nashville?
It's a good question, Mason. I think it's a little of both. First of all, Diego Pavia changed the locker room in a lot of ways. We all know that. That's been well documented. I think Clark Lee deserves a lot of credit here too, though. Chip on the shoulder guy, which has been well established. And I think he's tried to recruit a lot of players who are like him. And I think it's worked because, first of all, he's a guy who was a walk-on at Vanderbilt years ago. A lot of people didn't think he could do this. He was at UCLA making pennies on the dollar to coach, kind of scratched it and clawed his way up. When he finally got his first head coaching job, you hear all about it. He's got no head coaching experience and might not be the guy because of that. And then they lose for a few years. People want him out. I remember the 2-10 year, the majority of the fan base, I think, wanted Clark out. And Vanderbilt, I think, made a good decision to keep Clark. Obviously, in hindsight, looks like a good decision. But all that to say, a lot of people have counted Clark Lee out, And I think most of his roster is made up of guys that people have counted out as well. So I don't think there's any surprise that they're a confident group, because Clark Lea has purposely recruited confident players who really have had to generate their own self-belief to have it, because nobody's really believed in them down the line.
All the attention goes to Diego Pavia, Joey, but I wanted to ask about this offensive line, because you brought in a lot of transfers. There's two aspects I want to ask about. One, the age and experience, but two, when I'm looking at all the Vanderbilt kind of writings, I see quick tackle, quick guard, strong tackle. Then I put their tape on, and you've got Isaiah Glass going right tackle, left tackle, all throughout the, just based on, I'm guessing, the play call, based on the formation. So what's get your thoughts on the experience of the offensive line, how these guys have gelled so far, and really your thoughts on basically an old school concept, because I can remember a long time ago when I played middle school football, it was kind of like that, based on east and west formations. You wind up on the left or the right. Your thoughts on just this kind of, we're not playing, you're only at left tackle, we're kind of flipping things based on formational strategies.
Yeah, it's an old school strategy for an old school guy. Chris Klonakis, their offensive line coach, is about as much of a football guy as you can find. You can see him walking around the practice facility hunched over every time you're in there. The guys love him, though, and he's done wonders for this offensive line. I don't know that he's the number one recruiter they've ever had, but that's why they brought in Jeff Nady from South Dakota, who has kind of complimented Klonakis in a lot of ways. And Mason, you know this as well as anybody. They threw all their money at the offensive line this summer. That was the main area they invested in. Reminds me of a few years ago, Clark was at Notre Dame with Brian Kelly, and Notre Dame had the 4-8 year, and Brian Kelly kind of had a revelation and said, I need to invest in the line of scrimmage if this thing's going to work. And obviously didn't do it monetarily back then. I think that was 2017 that he did it. But
didn't?
Now, what's up?
Continue.
but it was different then for Notre Dame, because they really built it from the inside out, and Vanderbilt had the luxury of already having it on the outside with Pavia and Eli Stowers, and added Trey Richardson, which we'll get to, I'm sure. But for now, the idea of the offseason was they had to get stronger on the line of scrimmage. They had to get deeper. And obviously they did that. Isaiah Glass, like you mentioned, is a real player for them. He's bigger. He's more athletic than what they've had there in the past. Bryce Henderson, same thing. Jordan White named a captain this week. He's the center. Probably the best player on the offensive line, and I think will be an NFL player for a couple of years at the very least. I mean, that's a real transfer haul there. And then Cade McConnell has stepped into a role as well, actually beat out a transfer, Sterling Porche, who I think we had all kind of slated to start. But guys, I think that's the big thing for me, is they've invested heavily in the offensive line. And to me, it's made Diego Pavia not have to be a superhero, or I think in a lot of ways, the game manager term can be used as derogatory and kind of indicate that a guy's not all that talented. I think Diego Pavia is able to manage the game a little bit more than he'd been able to in the past. And I think that's a big deal. If you watch the tape last year, he had to be a superhero. He could never manage the game. You watch the Kentucky game, they scored 20 points. Half their points were from Diego running around in the backfield, dodging three or four guys, and finding an open receiver 20 yards down the field, 10 seconds into the play. I mean, that's not sustainable, and Vanderbilt knew that. Now they finally have, I guess, ways to get his guys in space and ways to get the ball out of his hand quicker. I think that's a big deal, and that's been a real key to their offensive success. And you also can't tune out the offensive line there. Diego's had more clean pockets and hasn't been running for his life all that often. So they're just better as a whole around Diego, and I think that's made him better as well.
I want to kind of keep asking about this offense and, you know, the way that they match up with Alabama's defense. I think one of the, you know, one of the strongest parts of Alabama's defense is the secondary. And I just wonder, you know, I want to get your opinion on how you think that, you know, if Vanderbilt is kind of forced to purely just man up and line up and run the football against Alabama, are they going to be able to have the same kind of success this season that they were able to, you know, produce last year with seemingly a much better offensive line, a really good running back? So, I mean, you know, on paper, you think they should. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm interested to hear from you guys what you make of the 227 yards against Georgia. That's interesting to me, and I think Vanderbilt has always said it's got a run to win, and Clark Lea sounds like a broken record when he says that. It's one of the many Clark Lea-isms that we get every week, but I think it's true, especially with Tim Beck kind of at the helm here. They want to run. They want to kind of establish their offense through the run game, and that's what they want their identity to be. I think everything kind of builds off of that. So if they can get Cedric Alexander and MK Young going against Alabama, who might be a little bit shorthanded defensively, I think that could really change the game. But also, I don't bet on Vanderbilt pushing around Alabama like it did on the line of scrimmage last year. That was the most unbelievable part of that upset to me. And I don't know that I expect that to happen again. I think Alabama's too talented up front for that to happen. I'm not betting on Vanderbilt running for 200 yards on Saturday. I'll say that. But I also think, let's say Alabama does have a really strong secondary, which I think it does. I don't know that that affects this all that much, because I think Vanderbilt's trying to get a lot of guys in space on the outside. I think a lot of its throws will be short yardage, where it tries to get Trey Richardson the ball 3 yards away from the line of scrimmage or behind it, and he goes and makes a guy miss. Vanderbilt's really taking a lot of pride in becoming a team that blocks on the perimeter. Clark Lee, before the first day of fall camp, sat there in the team room and showed the entire team examples of poor wide receiver blocking, and then showed good examples of wide receiver blocking. That was basically his opening statement for the season. And I think Vanderbilt's really embraced that. So I think cornerback play is important, and I think it matters. But also, I think Vanderbilt's going to try to scheme its way out of that. It's going to be all about yards after the catch. And then it's going to try to pick its spots to go downfield. And if it can hit on those, I think it's largely due to what they did in the short yardage and what Cedric Alexander and MK Young did. But interested to hear what you guys have to say about maybe Alabama being a little bit shorthanded and how that could affect things here.
Yeah, I do think that not having Quay Russo, a broken foot, is going to be a pretty big problem for Alabama in the run game. You ask about the 227 yards, and yeah, it's a big number. It's an ugly number for Alabama going against Georgia. But we calculated, what, 6-7 explosives for Georgia? And so really it was on, I think they ran it for like 38, 39 different times. And you had 31 good reps. Now, all it takes is 6-7 bad reps, and Vanderbilt will take advantage of that and rip you off for a 40-yard gain. That's exactly what Georgia did. A couple of big runs ends up with a big number. I do think it's a problem not having Quay Russo, and I think that you're exactly right with your passing game analysis, where Alabama's corners, Damani Jackson, you're going to have to be coming up physical on the line of scrimmage. And I do, and I was telling Hunter last night as we were chatting, I said, I think you could see a scenario where Damani Jackson gets sat on the bench and says, we'll see you next week, Damani. It is going to be Dijon Lee, you know, our 6'3 freshman corner who apparently will throw his body into anything. This is going to be a Zay Mincy game. This is going to be a Drake Kirkpatrick Jr. game, where the hitters on the back end are going to be going to have an opportunity to be hitters. The biggest question to me is, with the run gap fits, will everybody be in the right run gaps, and can you defeat the blockers on the perimeter? If you can do that, it's a thing that's going to make Vanderbilt's offense pretty challenging, but you still have those five or six explosives that Georgia was able to hit on. And if Vanderbilt's not going to need any more than four, five, six explosives to really be in this game. Joey, I want to keep going with this and ask you about the South Carolina game, because as I'm watching the South Carolina game, I'm seeing more South Carolina implosion than Vanderbilt actually just winning the game, actually going out there taking the game. Now, obviously, you got to take advantage of the situations, and Vanderbilt did do that, but multiple turnovers, multiple penalties, bad incompletions, and of course your starting quarterback gets hurt. What will be the competition like as far as what Vanderbilt has seen this season at South Carolina, at Virginia Tech? They've already fired their coach. Three cupcakes. Now you're coming to Tuscaloosa. They obviously remember everything that they saw last year against Alabama and Texas and LSU. You played high-level competition over the last year and a half, but you haven't quite played the highest level of physical competition this season. Do you think that there's any chance that Vanderbilt gets shell-shocked by, oh, we went 3-and-out, Alabama went right down the field, and now we've got to respond? What do you think the competitive character of Vanderbilt is if they realize, okay, we are outmatched here in Tuscaloosa?
First of all, Joe, I think I don't got to tell you guys this. This is far and away the best team Vanderbilt has played to this point. Even if Lenora Sellers played that whole game, I think Alabama's far and away the best team that Vanderbilt has played to this point. Does that mean I discount it from finding a way to win? No, I have predicted Alabama wins previously, but I don't know that I would ever count this Vanderbilt team out from going and beating somebody. They've shown me enough to this point to where I don't want to bet against them. Guys, I looked like an idiot last year. I predicted they go 3-9. I had people walking up to me in the facility at the end of the year, like, 3-9, really? I'm like, all right, well, let's maybe table some of these takes in the preseason then every year. But yeah, I think they're a good enough team to do it. If, like Diego Pavia said, if they're on their game, if they play the right way. Again, though, Alabama is the type of team that makes you not play at your best. And I think so often, this is a good Tim Corbinism for you guys, like, there's always the coach that goes in the game and says, or goes in the press conference and says, we haven't played our best game yet. I mean, you look at that and say, I mean, Alabama is a team that makes you not play your best game. You're never going to play your best game against Alabama. I would say 99 out of 100 times you won't. Vanderbilt did last year, which kind of makes the point counterintuitive here. But again, like, Alabama's significantly better than South Carolina, significantly better than Virginia Tech. And that doesn't mean those wins aren't impressive. They certainly are impressive in the numbers, at least. The South Carolina win is impressive. I thought the Virginia Tech win was impressive in its own way. Vanderbilt kind of won that the big bad SEC way, and you haven't seen Vanderbilt win that way a lot of times, where they're just running the team off the field and dominating on the line of scrimmage and kind of taking the will out of a team. I think that was a big deal in itself. But guys, this is a whole nother animal, and I want to hit on the competitive character piece. I don't think this Vanderbilt team really backs down from anybody, and I don't know that they would be fazed if they went down early. I think if it gets to 20, then there's going to be some problems. But also, I don't know that it gets there. I think this Vanderbilt team is more capable of hanging with a team like this just because of its mindset than other Vanderbilt teams have been. They expect to go in there and compete. A lot of them expect to go in there and win, and I think that's half the battle there. And I also think they got a strong chin and a short memory, as Sanford basketball coach Lenny Acuff would say.
I want to, let's see, we'll move to...
feel free if you want to go there next.
Sure, yeah. We'll move to the defensive side of the ball, and I want to, you know, want to just ask you about matching up against Ty Simpson. I think we, you know, we've talked about it on this show. I was incorrect about Ty Simpson in the offseason. I've already gotten it off my chest on this show. You know, I have admitted my wrongdoing, so Ty, hopefully you can forgive me. But Ty Simpson is playing like the best quarterback in the SEC right now. He's playing like maybe the best quarterback in the country right now. How much do you think he's going to, you know, just be able to have a similar success against Vanderbilt's defense that he had against Georgia? Because, you know, seemingly in that Georgia game, especially in the first half, it was like he was playing the game in slow motion. It was amazing. You know, do you think he's able to have that same level of just being able to stay calm, especially, you know, being at home and everything against his Vanderbilt defense?
I want you to build off that with a pass rush, the Vanderbilt pass rush, getting after this offensive line. Go ahead, Joey.
Sounds good. Yeah. I don't know that there's anything Vanderbilt can use to throw Ty Simpson off that Georgia wasn't able to use. I think they'll probably throw some stunts at him and try to do things along those lines. But, man, Ty Simpson has just been surgical throughout the year. You guys know that. No interceptions. And he's got the receivers to really be able to break this game open, too. And Vanderbilt's corners, I think, are the biggest key in this game. That's the group that's going to be tested the most throughout the course of the day. Martell Hyde's got to bring it. Colby Taylor's got to bring it. I mean, Alabama's got three NFL receivers at least in that room. And, man, that's just – it's almost unfathomable to think that Vanderbilt can shut that down. Maybe they can slow it down a little bit. But those guys are going to have to bring it. I think that's really the big key. But Ty Simpson, I think, is going to be surgical. And if Vanderbilt almost just has to pray that he makes a mistake. Miles Capers had the strip sack against Jalen Milroe last year. And obviously that's a guy who's had a great start to the year. Cordae Sidner, I think, can really bring it too. Maybe we haven't seen him break out the way that maybe he could down the stretch here. But, guys, I think Alabama is more than capable of putting up a ton of points on Vanderbilt. It's just, can Vanderbilt control the clock a little bit? I think if Vanderbilt's going to win, this is kind of off topic a little bit, I think it's going to have to be somewhat similar to last year, where they're winning the time of possession battle and they're running the ball for a good chunk every time they do it. I mean, I think that's the bigger deal than – slowing down Alabama's offense. And I don't think Vanderbilt wants to win this game in a shootout, because I think Vanderbilt would probably lose the shootout, honestly.
Yeah, see, that's where I was, as I'm trying to predict this game, I'm watching South Carolina, yes, they struggled with critical errors, but they moved the football on Vanderbilt. And at least on the first handful of drives for Virginia Tech, they moved the football a little bit. And so I'm seeing a gettable secondary, and I'm seeing, okay, they're going to have a hard time. Vanderbilt's going to have a hard time really getting to Ty Simpson. And so because of that, I'm wondering, offensively for Vanderbilt, will they be able to keep up? Now, obviously, we've talked all about the offense, and I do think that you're right with this ball control situation. I wonder what ways Vanderbilt gets after this Alabama offense and forces stops. If it's not, we trick Jalen Milroe on third down and we have a pick six and it's an explosive play, you know, a big swing type play, or we're hanging on and boom, we get a strip sack as Jalen Milroe is trying to take the lead. Obviously, different offenses, and you heard Clark Lee yesterday talk about the differences in Alabama's offense from last year to this year. But just if you were the Vanderbilt defensive coordinator, if you were Steve Gregory, what would you be doing? How would you implement this unit to disrupt the Alabama offense?
Joe, I don't get paid enough for that question. That's
send you a check.
Yeah, well, I would appreciate that. So I guess the simple thing is I think they're more dynamic as a defense than they were last year. I think that's certainly something they've got going for them. Brandon Fontenette's going to be an NFL player. I think Bartell Hyde's got the potential to do it. You look at Langston Patterson and Brian Longwell, two guys who have been in the scheme another year. I just see them flying around a little bit more than I have in the past because of the scheme. And I think it's just got to go back to the basics. And Steve Gregory's got to allow them to play with conviction a little bit here. Got to allow them to do things that they're comfortable with and play that way. And I really think that's about it. And just let your dynamic players be dynamic. That's probably the biggest thing to me. And I think that Alabama's going to get what Alabama's going to get. Vanderbilt, to be successful on defense, can't stray away from its identity. And it's kind of a coach speak answer a little bit, Joe. I'm sure you got a lot going on over there. But, that's really it for me. I think it's almost got to be more basic than anything. And obviously they're going to account for some Alabama stuff. But Langston Patterson said on Tuesday that you can't account for Ryan Williams running a post in practice. That's not something you can really prepare for with the scout team. So I would expect Vanderbilt to kind of just try to be itself and figure out everything else from there.
He's Joey Dwyer. You read him on Vanderbilt Commodores on SI. You follow him on the Twitter machine at Joey_DWY. Joey, give us your final thoughts on this game. And I don't want to pin you into a prediction, but if you want to make one, here's your chance.
Yeah, I mean, Joe, I'm 3-2 with predictions this year. I thought they'd win the three cupcakes, and then I went on.
I hate predictions, so go ahead, yeah. Do whatever you like to do.
You know what? I actually went on Tech sideline and said Vanderbilt was going to win, so I'm 4-1. I thought they were going to lose to South Carolina by like 10 points, but they go and beat South Carolina by 20. That's a big deal for them, obviously. I was going to say that Bama wins by around 7. It's probably close enough to make me stay there all night doing work rather than wrapping it up by the end of the game. But Joe, it'll be an interesting one. I think it's one of the bigger games for Vanderbilt in recent history, and I'm certainly not counting it out from doing anything. But to beat Alabama twice would be truly unprecedented, and I don't know that I'm ready to go there yet.
He's Joey Dwyer. He's going to be down here in Tuscaloosa. Follow all his coverage on Vanderbilt Commodores on SI and at Joey_Dwy on the Twitter machine. Joey, we look forward to seeing you here, man.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Have a great day. Thanks for your time, Joey.
Thanks, man. See you guys later.
Absolutely. That's Joey Dwyer joining us on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Sorry to bump you out there, Mason. We're starting to get pixelated, and I was just hoping to do what I could right there. I just don't see the Vanderbilt defense slowing this game down enough. And I think, what did I say yesterday? That I'm going to lean on it. Kane Womack, 3 stops, buddy. 3 stops. They're going to get 9 possessions. They're going to get 10 possessions, maybe 7. 3 stops. That's what you need. Give your offense those three, the ball back 3 times. Ty Simpson will take care of the rest.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you. I think my only real bit of concern is if the game does kind of go that way where Alabama's offense is able to kind of get these quick strike touchdowns and just jump on them
the
like that.
The defense goes right back on the field.
Yes, your defense may get gassed by, you know, the second quarter or so, and then we may have an issue on our hands where Vanderbilt is able to get some explosive plays going. But if you can just keep Vanderbilt playing their style of game where it's, you know, we're trying to hit you for 4 or 5 yards at a time. We're running the ball a lot. We're running chewing a lot of clock. Like, I think it can play well in Alabama's favor. Like, they just get the 2-3 stops. You're good, because the offense, I don't believe, will be slowed down.
All right, let's talk about one aspect right here before we go.
I've got a little bit of something that we can get into too before we go.
Also. Okay, I'm thinking about Quay's injury, and I'm thinking about Yanzi Pierre playing full time Wolf, and I'm thinking about Justin Hill. I think we're excited about Yanzi, and you know, he's been on an upward trajectory at least this year, but he's not going to be out there the entire time. And so you're going to be leaning on Justin Hill, a true freshman out of Cincinnati. Sure. Put on a lot of weight since he is enrolled early, but it's a true freshman, and you're going to have eyes everywhere. Yesterday, yep. The other day, LT Overton was like, we just got to have our eyes in the right place. That's my biggest concern, fellas. Will your eyes, hey, man, I just have to read the guard. I need to ignore all this noise. Mm-hmm. Read what I need to read. If you're an edge guy, I got to read the tackle. Down block means I step forward. Down block means I, you know, crash. X, Y, Z,
We need Christian Robinson to say, you know, some, hey, you blinders. Junior, hey, senior, whoever it is on the team, you, every play, you tell Justin Hill what to do.
Blinders, and just stare at your read key. Just stare at your read key and lean on your training. How you feel about Justin Hill play?
There were some very encouraging plays against Georgia from Justin Hill. I saw some, I think it was Clint Lamb tweeting out some clips yesterday of him just smashing the tight ends down into the line. One play, he pushed him so far down, he ran him back into the running back and blew the play up. You know, so the power is definitely there, I think, with Justin Hill. That was something I was a little concerned about going in, because you mentioned, you know, he was a guy that came in pretty skinny. Like, he came in, you know, at like 212 pounds or something like that, 215, 220 maybe. And now he's supposedly up in like that 235, 240 range. That's what they say. He still doesn't really look it to me. But evidently the power is there regardless. So regardless of how much he weighs, the power is seemingly there. So I'm encouraged by that. I'd like to see him get some real, you know, like real pass rush opportunities, because I think he could be a guy who would be real dangerous off the edge with his speed combined with the apparent power that he has. But I'm encouraged by what we've seen from him. Look, I'm not going to sit here and say he'll miss some plays.
Yeah.
He'll be responsible for a couple of explosive games in this Vanderbilt game. Yeah, it'll be like, now Justin Hill, your eyes are in the wrong spot, you know. But I think overall he will continue to just grow and develop and learn. And it's not going to be the thing, you know, him missing a couple plays is not going to be the thing that loses Alabama this football game.
No, I agree. So we'll see how it happens. We'll have football Friday tomorrow. We'll see if Katie Wynn is available. We'll have Theo Fernandez on backup if Katie is not available. Henry texted me last night. Henry Sklar was like, I want to get back on the show. I'm like, all right, Henry, we'll see what you got. We'll bring Henry back on the show here.
You're not allowed to talk about the Ryder Cup.
No.
You're not allowed to talk about golf.
No. Who gives a rip about any of that? You said you had one more thing?
Yeah, and maybe this is what we make Henry learn about to come on the show. This is a scoop from Front Office Sports. Collectives have given up on waiting for NIL go. At least two NIL collectives have begun to pay players before the submitted deals have been approved in NIL go. Another is preparing to do so. Now, that is probably the least amount of surprising news, or the least surprising news I've ever heard. But, man, it has been
falling apart.
2 months?
Crumbling.
If that, three, maybe three? I don't even think, because it was July or something they started it?
Right. Crumbling.
Already falling apart, folks. This is... Oh, it's gonna be a disaster.
They're setting up an anonymous tip line. If you are, if you want to tell on somebody,
Let's start throwing tips out there.
Hey, go.
Hey, I saw Hugh Freeze handing a.
I heard the Tennessee Vols. All right,
I'm a local business owner in the area, and I received a call from one Mr. Hugh Freeze requesting some services from some employees of mine for his football players. Now, I'm not trying to say what he was doing, but.
Right. You call up. Well, I don't know that this Tennessee deal is approved. Has this Tennessee deal been filed? I
didn't know Joey Aguilar driving a Ferrari. Has that been approved?
Did Adidas pay them some money?
Man, my God. That's a disaster.
That's terrible.
That's a horrible idea.
That's terrible.
I feel such dread for the poor soul that has to filter through all. Now, it's probably just some AI thing, if I had to guess, But if there's any person that is having to filter through those cancerous phone calls, I'm sorry for you, and I hope you're getting paid very handsomely, even though I know that you're not.
Eventually, this show is just going to be AI, because we've spoken enough already over the last 2 years that our voices are tracked, and they can be like, well, Joe would probably say, and it's just going to be AI.
Jokes on AI. Everything I've said over the last 2 years has been a lie.
That's right.
It'll never recreate me.
We'll see.
I was always right about Ty Simpson.
Download my consciousness into the computer.
Oh man, but yeah, that's interesting. Maybe we tell Henry he has to look into that a bit more and try to find out which collectives are paying under the table now.
All of them.
My guess is Michigan. My guess is Texas Tech. My guess is
guns up.
Who's the third that's preparing to do so? Maybe Ohio State. They don't need it though. I don't know. Tennessee. Feels like Tennessee.
Feels like a Tennessee move for sure.
Just got a big injection of money, you know.
Y'all aren't approving our deals fast enough. We got to get it done.
They hate the Vols.
That's right. Everybody's against us. Us against the world. All right. So we're done for the day. We want to thank Joey Dwyer. Appreciate him joining us on the line. You can follow him at Vanderbilt Commodores on SI. You can follow him at Joey_Dwyer. He's going to be writing all about the Vanderbilt side of things this weekend and really all over the place. He is incredible covering all things Vanderbilt Commodores, football, basketball, baseball. Praise the Lord that we can, at once basketball ends, we can just say, Will Miller, you got it. You got it, bud. Just call me if you need me something, Will. Call me if you need a hand.
Very thankful. And look, to those of you that love baseball, I'm happy for you. But I will never enjoy watching that sport.
I texted my buddies the other night. I said, I guess baseball season started today. Yesterday, 2 days ago, was postseason start.
Oh, yes,
baseball season started today. I said, where are the Braves? are the Braves playing? Oh, Braves manager stepping down. Snitker, you want the job?
No. I'd have to watch too much baseball. It'd be awful.
You know who I want to get the job? I think this was an AI story, a fake story, but they say the AI world says Tony Vitello is up for consideration. Please hire Tony Vitello.
That'd be hilarious.
Hire Tony V away from Tennessee. Put him in the dugout in Atlanta, in Truist Park, and you're going to win multiple World Series.
I don't know
series.
That his antics would fly too well.
No, they wouldn't. No.
I don't think
he'd be suspended.
Yeah, I think they'd get him up out of there pretty quick if he made it up.
They would find the mess out of him. It's still Rob Manfred, right? MLB commissioner. He would take half his paycheck.
When the majority of your fans are 75 and up,
right,
they're not going to love the antics of Tony Vitello.
Throwing baseball bats onto the field and just rah-rah and everybody. No, yeah, they would take half his paycheck. And I'm pretty sure what I saw was like, just one of those stories from India that's like putting three things together. And here's a story.
Hey, Grok, give me a picture of Tony Vitello in Braves gear.
Right, exactly. So, hate that so much. My favorite pastime on the Facebook machine is commenting under, this is a fake story. So, all right, we had a lot of fun with you guys today in the Derek Daniel State Farm Studios. Appreciate Derek Daniel for hosting the program. Call Derek at 205-758-3391. Call us with your predictions, your Football Friday predictions, 205-462-7340, extension 800. Will Alabama beat Vanderbilt? What will the score be? How do you think the game will go? Will you be in the stadium? Will you be yelling loud enough so Diego can hear you? Give me all your predictions right there on the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800. We'll do a Football Friday right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IP Vanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.